Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPSLASLASLARRMMDRAHAPAFA or any of them, their guys.
Any of them A's. You can stick them,
their A-holes.
Stick them all in your A's.
And, you know, all the opinions given are ours and ours. See, I said ours.
Exclusively.
Ours and ours alone. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
So, Shelley.
What?
How you doing?
Fine.
Fine. What were things like today, since it's a different day than
things
the last
time? Things
are
fine, Bruce.
Why are you asking me that?
Because we're bantering.
Well, but I just said two shows ago how my day was, and we record three shows at a time.
How's your
day? My day has not changed.
I was going to say, how's your day been since then? Little contention in the last show?
We recorded two shows. That's what's happened.
Bruce, how many meetings have you spoke at in the last week?
In the last week, one.
Really? Today was the only one?
Just one.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't spoke a lot recently. Although, you know me, though. I love to speak at meetings. The bigger, the better.
The University of On and On and On?
Yeah. I like to speak at really big meetings. I really
do. It's easier because they all sort of blend into one lump, and then you're not speaking to one person.
Yeah, I like that. I like doing that. Mark, what's the biggest meeting you ever spoke at?
I don't know, probably about 150.
That's a pretty big meeting.
That's yes, get ready to get the head deflator out.
Bruce, what's the biggest meeting you ever spoke at?
However many people fit in the Seattle Superdome. But that was only a fit. It doesn't really count, though, because it was only a 15-minute. It was only an opening pitch. The biggest meeting I think I spoke at besides that was either Claire Foundation, because there was a lot of people at that meeting, or probably Pitzer, because Pitzer's pretty big, too. Shelley spoke at Pitzer. Pitzer's gone now.
I never spoke at Pitzer.
How many people, Shelley, when you were secretary of Pitzer, how many people?
It varied on if the women's recovery facility was on lockdown, it was probably about 85, 90, and when it wasn't on lockdown, it was about 125, 130. Yeah.
So, pretty decent. Where were you at when you spoke? Was it a club or something?
Charter.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Back in the day, that's true.
Yeah.
I might have spoke to more people at Charter when it was in the gym.
That was a huge meeting.
That meeting's been weird.
Yeah.
When I first started going to it, it was in Group Room A. They didn't call it Group Room A then, but it was, they got too many people for that room, and the fire marshal said you can't be in here anymore. They took it to the cafeteria, got too big for the cafeteria. They took it to the gym, and in the gym, there was plenty of room, but there was plenty of people.
Yeah.
Of course, Mark mentioned it today. It was like the meeting. This one's specifically as a Cocaine Anonymous, but it was the Cocaine Anonymous meeting. Well, actually, how many people do you think were at the 502 Club on that Sunday night?
Counting all the ones standing outside hoping to get in when you spoke?
I don't know. 80?
Yeah, I don't know how many people that room holds. Don't know. So, you know what that means.
What's that mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. I just just noticed we lost two-thirds of our peanut gallery.
We did. Where did they go?
Or as we like to call it, the sausage fest.
The sausage. Well, now it's now the man-woman ratio in here is a lot closer.
Yeah.
We've got we've got two men, two women, and
Michael.
And Michael. depending on who you talk to.
That's right.
They'll give you a different answer about Michael.
It's like the guy who told me he had three kids, one of each.
Three kids, one of each. Yikes.
Okay, our first story is in Salt Lake City.
Utah.
And I loved the headline on this because it was one of those moments where you go, huh? And then you go, duh. The headline for this is, after man crashes into Burger King, restaurant closes.
Yeah. Duh.
You'd think.
Good idea.
And the end
for
of the
a minute
story,
anyway.
I'll let you know what the middle of the story is in a second, but the last line of the story is, the cause of the crash is under investigation. Now, the middle of the story, and now you'll see why the last line made
Do
me laugh,
Do they know whose
too.
Fault it was? Was it his or the Burger King's?
No, you'll see why it made me laugh when we get to the middle. The middle, what happened was the fire department captain and his team were returning from fighting a fire, and they had just filled the vehicle with fuel. They were heading back to the station. They were at the intersection of a road. They saw a car that was next to them suddenly being pushed forward by the car behind it. And the car behind it was accelerating and wasn't stopping. And the woman was trying to stop. Obviously, her emergency brake wasn't working. The car behind her eventually pushed her off the road and then kept going, hit another car, sort of pinballed off another car, jumped a curb, went through the parking lot, and drove into the dining room of the Burger King.
I'm guessing there's alcohol involved in this.
Well, we'll get there.
You get a free play for that.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, there were firefighters at the intersection because the car immediately burst into flames.
Oh.
So it was convenient to have the firefighters right there.
God shot.
They responded, put out the fire, got the guy out of his car, realized the reason why he crashed into the Burger King was because he was in full cardiac arrest.
Oh,
wow.
They started resuscitation, were able to revive him. He is still alive. He is in the hospital.
Ooh.
And yet, the cause of the crash is under investigation.
Yeah, I think we figured out why. Unless the guy crashed into the place and then had the heart attack.
That's right.
I doubt it because of the fact that he probably had the dead foot. The car was still accelerating. And what often happens when people have a heart attack at the wheel, their foot goes wham down to the floor and pushes the accelerator in.
It's like the guy who gets into the crash, and after he gets in the crash, he immediately starts drinking.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I just drank because I crashed.
Yeah, I was fine. I was upset. Had a couple toddies to try to steal my nerves.
Yes.
Oh, there was another really great line in the story. I don't know who wrote the story, but it was hilarious. Firefighters immediately evacuated the restaurant, which was vacant at the time.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Evacuate a vacant restaurant.
Oh, that was amusing.
Everybody get... Never mind.
Mark would have been there. Follow me.
Yeah, follow me.
Okay, if you are a follower of the television show MythBusters, it might be a little bit late for us, but well, actually, it's late for everybody because by the time you hear this show, you'll have to actually go back like on YouTube and watch it. MythBusters tonight is running the episode in which they were performing a calibration test. They wanted to see if various types of cannonballs, which ones would be the best for blasting through a castle. So they built this big, you know,
I love those guys.
Stone castle.
Anytime they can explode something or break something, they love it.
And they had a cannon, which they were firing various things out of. They first wanted to calibrate the cannon, so they actually stuck a steel cannonball into the cannon and set it off. Unfortunately, it misfired. The barrel of the cannon lifted, and the cannonball ricocheted off of the side of the bomb range and went 700 yards into a subdivision.
Oh, I remember that.
The cannonball went through one house, bounced off the roof of another one before crash landing on a minivan.
Yes, I heard about that.
Fortunately, no one was hurt.
Well, that takes a lot of the excitement out of it.
And you know what I'd like to say? I don't know about going what goes through a castle well, but whatever cannonball they were using goes through subdivision homes pretty well.
Yeah, it did.
And if you think about it, that's at the end of a 700-yard flight. So if you fired that thing and it was, say, 50 yards from something, you'd probably go through two or three houses. Yikes.
So at any rate, they are airing the episode. So if you thought they would, because at first they weren't going to air the episode, because for obvious reasons, but now they've decided because to, so tonight like was your name.
Idiots.
Looked like, yeah. Looked like a fail.
Yes, it was a major fail.
They did a thing one time with sawdust. There's a thing about sawdust exploding, and mm-hmm. I've never even heard about it. They made the sawdust explode.
Oh, yeah, it can.
Oh, my. It was like the hugest fireball I've ever seen, and like much bigger than they expected it to be. It was monster-sized explosion.
What else you got, Shelley?
I thought this was amusing. In the Deep South, you know, during the election, you can also write in candidates. In Georgia, one of the small newspapers has published a list of some of the write-in candidates from this year's election.
I think this would be good.
They had, like, some of the common ones that get written in, like Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and stuff like that.
Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman, stuff like that. They also had write-in votes for Hello Kitty, Elmo, SpongeBob SquarePants, Bambi, Bart Simpson, Bozo, Daffy Duck, Donald Duck, Howdy Doody, Miss Piggy, Snoopy, Santa Claus, Batman, Big Bird, Honey Boo Boo, Seymour Butts. My
Boo Boo
and
Butts.
Yes.
They were running mates.
They were running mates. My two favorites were A Bag of Rocks and A Wet Rag.
The Bag of Rocks won.
If you think the candidate choices are so bad that you have to write in A Bag of Rocks, things have gotten bad.
You know what? All you need to know about the electorate, do you know who finished fifth in the election with 49,000 votes?
Who?
Roseanne Barr.
Oh, my God.
All you need to know about the United States of America and our voting rights.
I think there's probably districts where there was less than 49,000 votes separating the candidates.
The 49,000 people who voted for Roseanne Barr should be barred from ever voting again.
I think that they should have, the guy.
Or breeding, by
last
the way.
Last name, Meoff.
Yeah.
First name, Jack.
Jack?
okay, you guys
Or, of course, Mr. Hunt. Michael.
Michael?
I'm not going there. You guys know who Jenny McCarthy is, right? The model?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yes, we do.
I know every part of her, as a matter of fact.
Why?
Because I've seen every part of her.
When?
In photos. Where have you been?
Oh, okay.
We've seen the same part that God has seen.
Well, anyway, she was doing an interview and about her new book called Bad Habits, Confessions of a Recovering Catholic.
Bad habit.
Have to get
no
that.
No pun intended.
Are there any pictures?
I'm sure there are. She actually claims in her book that she once heard God speaking to her. She said, and I'm quoting here, "I heard a chanting voice breathing down my neck. It kept saying, 'Bimbo's in limbo.' That must have been an act of God to punish me."
Turned out to be Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Breathing hard in her back.
Yeah.
At any rate, one of her revelations is that she once had tried to have sex with a tree. She went to a party and took too much ecstasy.
I know a guy who had sex with a streetlight.
Found herself naked up against a tree and decided it felt really good, so she tried to have sex with it. Then her friends, at the same party, the friends decided
that
she...
I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree.
Her friends decided that maybe she needed a little help, that she'd taken too much of the drug.
Uh-huh.
So they were all standing around discussing, you know, we should take her to the hospital or whatever. When Jenny McCarthy said, "I noticed that none of us were wearing anything, so I said, let's not, we're naked."
And nine guys offered to help her in an alternative way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Peanut Gallery's over here. Never before have I wished so much that I was a tree. I wonder if the tree had morning wood.
In Detroit, what's left of it.
Is there anybody in Detroit?
Wow.
Well, there are enough people in Detroit that the Eastern District Police Headquarters had to be evacuated after a man brought a hand grenade in a flower pot into the building.
Because they're afraid of flower pots?
No, they were afraid the hand grenade was going to go off. It prompted the evacuation of the entire building.
Both cops ran out the back door.
They called the bomb squad and had
Mark said, follow me.
Safely detonated.
Follow me.
The guy walked into the police station and said, I found this under my mother's porch. So they told him to set it back outside gently.
Go put it back under your mother's porch.
You go take it outside. We'll wait here.
Yeah.
When they evacuated the building, they also had to remove 30 prisoners from their cells, handcuff them together, and guard them outside in the parking lot.
They should have the prisoners defuse it.
You know what the best thing is to do in that situation? Shoot one of them in the leg, because the rest of them have a hard time dragging him.
True. The grenade was made with TNT, which sweats over time and can become extremely volatile. And the grenade he had predated World War II.
Yeah.
So they were a little concerned.
Bomb squad guy sweats a little too.
Yeah.
And apparently... In Detroit, this is not unusual because they have now had to put up a sign outside of all the police precincts that say no weapons allowed of any kind, including hand grenades.
Please don't bring your undetonated hand grenades into our police station.
Yes. Yeah. A few weeks ago, two elderly women came into the building with three grenades in a Bed Bath & Beyond shopping bag to turn them in.
Wow.
That they found.
So Detroit's happening still.
Those are almost the heroes of the week.
The police remind residents, we make house calls.
Bed, Bath, and boom, way beyond.
Yeah.
Carlsbad. Bonnie Morris, 46 years old, was arrested when she failed to stop when an officer noticed that she was attempting to drive her car while she was standing up through the moonroof swinging nunchucks. The car reached a speed of 65 miles per hour. How was she able to drive?
That's not the most unusual driving story I've heard in the last week.
What's the most unusual one you've heard?
I heard a story about someone who was going to pick up their son at college. And at 10 o'clock at night, they were driving. They forgot which way to turn. So they stopped in the middle of an intersection, put their flashers on, and called their son to find out which way they're supposed to turn at that corner.
Wow. Yikes.
Sat there through an entire change of the signals, and a police car was sitting at the corner.
Perfect. She's Asian. Oh, my God.
She is Asian.
That was spoken by someone who's Asian, so don't go off on me, guys.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, if you go to the official White House website, you can view the state of the petition that has just been entered on behalf of the state of Louisiana to withdraw from the United States of America.
God, where do we sign up for that?
There is a rumor that Texas is not far behind. They have actually, in 2 days, gotten almost 15,000 signatures, and they only need 25,000 to present by December 7th to present it to Congress to ask to secede from the Union.
What an interesting date.
December 7th.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah.
Well, Texas has flirted with this since the beginning of time of Texas.
Yeah, they've always called themselves the Republic of Texas.
Yeah, well, I'm closer to going to Texas than I am to the
U.S. Texas right now is number two in population, and they think that within the next 10 years it may surpass California for the largest population.
Except for the fact that they do still honor the death penalty, so they'll keep killing people faster than California does.
You know.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Louisiana.
Quick on the draw.
Well, and I wonder, let's say it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It gets on the ballot, gets voted.
Yeah.
So what happens? The United States just says, okay, go ahead.
The petition requests... the government of the United States of America specifically names the Obama administration and requests peaceful withdrawal from the Union.
I don't know how that'll work out.
I'm all over it. I'm moving to Texas or Louisiana if it happens.
And speaking of the federal government.
Yes.
Big shout out, 237 years old today, the United States Marine Corps. Go Devil Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Semper Fi.
And a big thank you to all our veterans, because it is technically today is actually Veterans Day.
Which is be a week ago when they hear this.
Yeah, it's November 11th today.
Just remember, we were thinking about you today.
Where was that one that I just had? Oh, in Denver, Colorado. I'm running way over time, so I'm trying to get to the really good ones. In Denver, Colorado, a U.S. Postal Service worker, he might be in trouble, but they're not really sure because they think that, you know, if it had happened at any other time of the year, he would have noticed this. Guy thought that there was a particularly realistic Halloween decoration on the porch of a home that he delivers mail to.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
About November 2nd, began to wonder why the decoration hadn't moved and was drawing flies.
Uh-oh. Ah.
It was a dead body.
Oh.
But because he noticed it there a few days before Halloween, and there were other Halloween decorations on the house, he assumed that it was a dummy. Dressed like a, like it was supposed to be a corpse.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it was a real corpse. The man had collapsed and died of a heart attack after he returned home from his night shift job.
Next to his jack-o'-lantern.
Yes.
Did he get an award? Greatest Halloween decoration?
That's right.
Ever. Most realistic decoration.
You win. Some kid stole candy out of his pocket, too.
Oh.
Oh, man. Okay, and this last one, I got to do this one. This is out of South Korea. South Korea boasts a new theme park. It is called the Restroom Cultural Park.
What?
The Restroom Cultural Park. It is in the city of Suwon.
Suwon?
And you can learn fun facts about poo and other potty-themed things. The park was built in memory of the city's mayor, former mayor, Sim Jae-duk, who was also affectionately known as Mr. Toilet.
What?
He had a passion for toilets, and he spent his life campaigning for better toilets for Korea. They claim that he was sort of accidentally born in his grandmother's toilet.
That sounds disgusting.
You can see his house, which is toilet-shaped. You can see various films,
you know, about colors painted inside
about sanitation. Brown.
blue Santa flesh blue.
Interestingly enough, Bill Gates was inspired by the fact that this city in South Korea has the Golden Poop Art Festival every year and has launched something called the Reinvent the Toilet Competition to improve sanitation around the world. That's Bill Gates who's funding that.
That's a shitty idea. I've been waiting for the right moment to say that.
Yeah.
It's probably a shitty theme park, too.
I'm sorry, but I just thought that was hilarious. The Golden Poop
They hold the
Art
Bukkake
Festival
there every year.
No. That's the wrong word for that. Wow. Look that one up. See what you find on Google for that word. It's not going to have anything to do with poop, I can guarantee you.
Okay, and that, on that rather smelly note, that's the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
We are back. It's yes. Nice to be back.
It is. I love when people say, it's nice to see you. It's nice to be seen. So we have a topic. Shelley, tell us what said topic is.
You know I don't know what it is. Why are you asking
me? You were the one who told us about it.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
You said Fran
gave it to you.
Oh, that one. Oh,
never
we
mind.
We just said we'll do the topic Fran sent in.
Okay, I forgot that you guys had agreed.
Shout out to Fran.
Shout out to Fran.
Our number one Fran.
Fran really liked our show on remembering the last drink. And she said, what about remembering the first one? How did you get into this mess in the first place? So
this is a show guaranteed to send out 95% of the people listening.
I don't know. Maybe not. Just don't romance it.
How can you talk about what made you so enthralled with something that got you into all this? Can you not romance it?
I don't think it was what was so enthralling that got you into this. The fact is you're an addict or an alcoholic. Wouldn't matter what it was. You would have ended up there anyway.
Probably. Okay, Shelley. So tell us. Your very first. Well, and maybe there's a difference between your very first and what really got. Because, you know, you got that line you step over. Because, you know, the very first time that you do something, certainly what kicked it off. But maybe it's not where you stepped over the line. So what was the very first time you did a substance, which I assume for you was booze?
Yeah, and the very first time I stepped over the line.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I went to UCLA, and my first roommate.
Okay, so wait, you were in college.
Yeah, I was in college.
Wow, late start.
Yeah, I was a late starter, late bloomer. I mean, I'd had, because I went to Hawaii after I turned 18, and the legal drinking age there was 18, so I had a couple of beers in Hawaii, but I didn't get to experience the full flowering of my alcoholism there. My first week at UCLA, my roommate said, hey, there's some Little Sister Rush parties going on at the fraternities, let's go. And I, not knowing what that was, said, okay. And away we went, and
those are awesome. By
they were serving Everclear and grape juice mixed together.
What do they call that?
Jungle juice. That's what he said.
That's right.
I didn't know that was what they called it.
Sometimes they call them panty droppers.
well, my panties didn't get dropped, but I really.
I'm sure many did actually.
Probably. At any rate, I couldn't really describe the evening, mostly because I don't remember it.
Yep.
That means you got laid
twice.
So
as far as you know.
No. I remember the end. The end was me walking down Gailey Avenue in Westwood, stopping every 10 feet to throw up into a bush, covered head to toe in grape juice and Everclear because I had stumbled into somebody.
Oh, my God. Was that you?
Yes, that was me. I had stumbled into somebody carrying a tray full of these big drinks, and they went all over me. But I had already consumed a fair amount, so I was extremely hammered. And I remember getting into my apartment and just sort of flopping over. And when I got up the next morning, I didn't have a hangover or anything. And I thought, well, that was fun. Let's do it again. So we went out that night, too. And that second night, I ended up, because I didn't know that when a guy says, hey, come upstairs and look at my fish tank, that his room is the tank and you are the fish. And I ended up climbing out a second-story window to get away from him. Which was exciting because all the people down on the lawn were screaming, jump, jump, jump.
You wonder why he was calling
you.
You wonder why he was calling you Guppy instead of Baby?
They're so helpful at UCLA. Jump, jump, jump.
Well, it wasn't that high up. It was only the second story. Yeah. But and I made it home that night, too. But I remember waking up the next morning, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you're an alcoholic. Because I knew I was, because there were no breaks from the gate. It wasn't like I went to these parties and had a drink or two.
But you were predisposed yes. to being an alcoholic.
Yes, okay, I very much predisposed.
Let me ask you this. So you remember the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
What part of the nights do you not remember?
Well, I guess you could say I remember the whole night, but it was kind of one of those things where it's like a series of images pasted together in your head where there's like a soundtrack, and it's just kind of...
Was it Purple Haze playing?
I know. I always hear Duran Duran when
Excuse
I think about
me.
That night.
Hungry like the wolf?
Possibly. I don't know. I do remember stumbling into a lot of door frames.
I'm thinking you still can't guarantee that you didn't get laid that night.
I probably didn't.
Sort of.
Usually women can tell. There's evidence.
People at home won't get this, but do you ever remember one of your images being like this?
No.
People at home couldn't see that. It's just too bad.
Excess hair gel on one side of your head?
No.
She used so much hair gel, her hair was chemically dependent.
So no, but I knew I was an alcoholic that second morning. I woke up and I just refused to do it. I didn't want to do anything about it. You know, so... And the problem for me was because I grew up in the program, I can probably count on my fingers the number of times that I actually enjoyed my drinking. Because I never felt comfortable drinking. Because I already had the AA in there. So AA completely effed up my drinking career from the gate, which is probably why I was only why I binged instead of drank every day for years and years and years and years, because the guilt would overwhelm me.
So how about you, Mark? And I know now with Mark, it could be first time on several substances.
Well, I mean, the first time, and even the same substance used different ways.
Yes.
The first time. I mean, you know, first time I drank, I don't know. I mean, there's a family video that, you know, my cousin put one of those, you know, those videos that some family member gathers up all the old 8mm.
Puts them all together.
And puts them all together into this. And, you know, they always have these real favorable pictures of them.
Yeah. First shot of me. Pictures of everyone else.
First shot of me, I'm probably 2 years old because I'm sitting in a high chair at my grandfather's house. He is holding a Michelob beer, and I have both hands grasped around the neck, and I'm drinking it. So do you want to count that as my first time drinking? I have video evidence of it. But can I tell you it was good or bad? Nah.
What's the first time you remember drinking?
First time I remember drinking was a family holiday at my aunt and uncle's house, and we were drinking slow gin fizzes.
Ugh.
I think I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Wow. And, you started early, 2 years old, alcoholic by 8.
That's right. So, and I remember drinking those and having that fantastically fuzzy feeling.
How about weed?
Weed, I was 13. I was just graduating from 8th grade. I smoked half a joint with my older sister's boyfriend. Went across the street to the church to light the candles for a wedding afterwards.
Uh-oh. I think I've heard this story.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the candles are moving left to right. I'm moving up and down with the thing trying to light them. And I think I lit one out of the 8 successfully.
At a wedding. Nice.
They paid me $5 for doing it.
It's a good thing you didn't get $5 per candle.
No, they paid me $5. I can tell you what I spent that $5 on.
Weed.
Half a lid.
Got half an ounce back
half
in the
a
day.
Lid, yes. Coke. You know, the first time I did cocaine, I did it right from the very beginning.
Me, not so much.
Did a favor for somebody as a thank you. They gave me about a 2.5 gram, pretty solid rock of coke. Knew what it was, didn't know what to do with it. Went and woke up my sister. She knew exactly what to do with it. We snorted and played backgammon for the next 30-some hours. And it was great. It was fantastic. I felt great through the whole thing. Couldn't wait to get some more. First time I made freebase and smoked it was probably the most incredible day of my using life.
Okay, how many people will we send out by now?
Well, anybody who has smoked coke and says that the first time they did it wasn't fantastic is lying. It was great. You know what the problem was? I never got there again.
Yeah,
never. Chasing your tail.
I never got there. I tried. Oh, my God, did I try. Never got back there again.
How about other things? Do you do other things? See, Shelly kind of got gypped because she...
First time I recall doing mushrooms was at a Chuck Mangione concert.
Give me, you know, because
Chuck Mangione is one of the great flugelhorn players.
Give me a song.
Well,
because
he was a horn player.
Yeah, but he had a couple big songs back in the
80s. I can't remember what they are. But all I remember is watching the rainbows come out of the end of his horn. It was awesome.
It is. I can't imagine getting addicted to shrooms, though. It's kind of hard on you after a while.
No, you can't. You know, but I probably should just stuck with those, actually. I'd still be out there.
Perfect. Anything else?
I don't think you can get addicted to them.
Any other
unless
goodies?
You don't continuously over a long period of time. Any what?
Any other goodies?
Yeah, most of them.
Yep, most.
I don't think I missed too many. The ones that you head north on, I didn't do too much going south. Because I didn't really feel like going down. I always like to go up.
Yes.
You know, Black Beauties. Our Quaaludes are kind of sideways, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not exactly a down, but they're kind of sideways.
Yeah, they're kind of sideways.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, I mean, covered the gamut pretty well. I was a Skittles guy.
You guys have heard many times, my first beer fishing trip, my uncle, I think he was going to teach me a lesson. Here, try one of these. I was 12. I drink it. I'm thinking, this sucks. This is horrible. I will never do this again. 15 minutes later, I'm sitting on the log. My head's kind of bobbing back and forth, and I'm like, hey, wow, I feel pretty good. Can I have another one of those?
Yes.
And but I didn't really drink alcoholically after that for a long time. Smoked weed the first time. I was a very conscientious guy. All my friends smoked weed. They'd hand me the pipe or the bong. I would hand it to the next guy and would never hit it. One day I decided I was going to hit it. And my buddy's dog, Timmy, always used to sit and watch us smoke weed. And I always used to think that the dog was thinking like what I was thinking, because I'd see these guys, they'd hit this bong, and they'd be smoking like opiated Thai or something. They'd hit this bong, and they would start convulsing. I mean, just... And I remember I used to watch them. I'm like, why do you guys want to do that? You know, it just didn't look right. And the dog would always... They'd do that thing where the dog cocks their head sideways. Someone would be hacking. The dog would be like, what the hell's your problem? But the dog would hang out, because sometimes we blow smoke at him.
Yeah, the dog loved that.
Dogs
they really
like,
do like that.
Immediately going to drink water.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I took it. I took the hit. I did the same thing. Immediately started coughing and hacking. Said what I always said. I will never do that again. Next time the bong came around, hit it again. Acid. I took acid for the first time, and don't really remember which time was the first time with acid. But I do remember that my friend was shooting pool, and when he did the break, all the balls turned into mice and started running for the pockets. And
love that.
And his front lawn turned like 7 colors while I was looking at it, and I was immediately thinking that I couldn't decide if it was the coolest thing ever, if I was scared shitless. And one of the trees outside, I was pretty sure was a Tyrannosaurus Rex for a while. And I went in to tell everyone about it, and they're like, you're just freaking out. It's okay.
Yeah, you're just frying, dude. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't sweat it. The very first time I took shrooms, I was in Oregon, and we had two groups of people in a room, not a very big room, a dorm room. And on one side of the room, they're tripping on whatever they're tripping on. On my side of the room, this guy, and we're seeing trails. We're making our hands go back and forth. And my friend takes a cigarette, and he goes, watch. I'm going to hit Bill right in the head with this cigarette, and we'll all get trails and everything. So he throws it across the room, and this guy, Bill, turns around and looks at us right when the cigarette's coming, and it went right in his mouth, even the correct end into his mouth. And Bill, not freaked out at all by this, just lights it up and goes back to talking with the other guys.
Wow.
Which we're all dying about. Let's see. Oh, cocaine. First time I ever did cocaine, I didn't get it at all. I did it wrong the first time. We had 6 guys, quarter gram. We got these little tiny lines. And after I did it, I'm like, are you effing kidding me? That's it? And they're like, yeah, isn't it great? And I'm like, how much did that cost? And they're like, $25. And I'm like, that's like a 4-finger dime of weed and a 12-pack of beer. We could have gotten really loaded. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to remember a dime of weed back then, a $10 bag of weed was massive.
It was. And I got to tell you, I refuse to talk about the first time that I either smoked coke or slammed coke.
And why is that?
Because it was, like you said, I mean, it was highly entertaining. It was the beginning of the end, you know, because the moment I did it, I just had to do it. And, you know, I used to tell a story about when I overdosed once on coke, and I was fairly graphic in the way I described it.
Uh-huh.
And this is talking about an overdose. I mean, something that was horribly bad for me, almost killed me. Uh-huh. And people came up to me after me, and you can't share that like that because I was itching.
If you were to die and go to heaven, and you found out that heaven was the effect of the first time you ever smoked coke, would you kind of be okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Shelly, come back.
Okay.
Come back, Shelly.
What you're telling me is heaven must be full of trains.
Yes.
So, Shelly, what would your final words on the first time be?
Don't have another one.
Ooh, that's a good one. Look, Shelly comes back from knitting, and boom.
I'm crocheting.
Okay, crocheting.
Everybody always say I'm knitting.
Whatever. Do you use a knitting needle?
No, it's a crochet hook.
Okay, whatever.
Sheesh.
Like I know. So, Mark, what would your first words on the... What would your last words on the first time be?
No matter how hard I tried to get there again, I was never able to recreate the feeling of the first time. When I finally have realized in life I would never be able to recreate it again, I was able to just stop trying.
Good one. My final words on the first time would be that I hope I don't ever have a first time again. Actually, I can say I won't ever have a first time again. But I...
At least not today.
Not today. I'm not going to say it could happen tomorrow either because my head works like a virus. Oh, really? We might get loaded tomorrow? How can we help that along today? Shelly, who are our friends back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Sweet. Mark.
Dude, yes.
So someone's listening to the show. We love that.
We do love that.
How could they help us?
We ask that they go to recovery101.net and listen to the show from our site. That'll take them to the Podomatic site.
Even if you've heard it on iTunes before?
Yeah, you can go back in.
You can
in,
go back
anyway.
And comment there.
Yeah. So anyway, we'd like you to click and like the show from there or hit permalink. If you click like and you're already a member of Podomatic, congratulations, you've been counted. If you're not yet, there'll be a box pop-up asking you if you'd like to become a member of Podomatic. It is fun and free. We ask that you join Podomatic so that you can then go on to permalink and you can like the show. You can leave comments. You can leave show topics so you don't have to listen to this garbage again.
Hey, it was a topic from Fran.
It was. Fran, we love you, and I actually enjoyed the topic immensely. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of thinking about going out and getting loaded, so...
Part of the 95%.
That's right. Nah, just kidding. Anyway, you can follow us. You can add us to playlists. But all in all, we just ask you to go to our site and listen to the show or at least participate in our recovery from the recovery101.net site. Thank you.
I just thought of something really scary.
What?
During the recent elections, there was a lot of talk about like the 1%. In recovery, we're like the 1%. We're the 5%.
Yeah.
We're the 5% that made it. Wow.
You know what the difference is, though?
So far today.
You know what the difference is, though?
What?
We're not going to get screwed like the 1%
is. Well, but we could put more money in the basket.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I already do that.
Yeah, we already do that.
We've got...
And we do it voluntarily. We don't get forced into doing it.
We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack staff, that's right, the crack advertising staff, it's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelley.
Problem Child by Elektra.
Problem Child by Elektra. That would be the lead out music. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
That's all, folks.
Oh, I forgot. Good night.
I'm not a problem child, or a misfit for abuse. I'm not a wild child, or a sorry excuse. I'm not a wannabe, I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a flower child, but I believe in peace. I'm not conservative, I practice what I preach. I'm not a wannabe, I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. Charity case. I'm not a rich kid, I ran my own race. Don't give me sympathy, I can hold my own. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a dreamer, I stand on my feet. I'm not a lost cause, I fight for what you see. I'm not a user, I give and take. I'm just living down the road till I can find. Let me be.